good time. Mark chapter number 2. Amen. Let me have you stand, and I'm going to read several verses, and I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord that's in the place this morning, and I think the atmosphere would be good for me to at least start this. I don't know that I have time to finish it, and I love these verses. I have a message I preach out of Mark 2 and verses 1 through 12 we want to start on this morning. And the Lord give me, and it's kind of one of them messages, Brother Tim, I preach, especially if I'm preaching in a new church, in a revival meeting, that the Lord give me, that the Lord is using. I've actually preached it here. I was tempted to just pull that message out because it's just verse by verse right through here. But I asked the Lord, Lord, give me a fresh glimpse of this text and how you want me to deal with it. And there's a doctrine I think that we're going to hit on this morning that will fit right in. Just the Lord knows exactly what He's doing. And we want to just maybe testify a little bit this morning. We'll finish this maybe on next Sunday. The Bible said in verse number 1, and again He entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised. Amen. It was noise. That is, everybody was talking about it. Amen. We hear a lot of noise in these days. There's a lot of noise, amen, throughout the world. But may it be said, amen, in noise that He was in the house. Amen. The Bible said, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And He preached the word unto them. They come unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. When they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Listen to verse number 5. When Jesus saw their faith, I believe that to mean the faith of the four and the faith of the fifth man on the bed that was being born. He's seen the faith of all five there in this scene. He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Boy, I hate people like this. I know you're not supposed to hate people, but maybe I don't hate the people. I hate, amen, the things that people can sometimes do, reasoning in their heart. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Notice their question. Who can forgive sins but God only? Immediately, when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they reasoned within themselves, He said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man, listen to this, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Amen. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, please help us. Lord, take the Word of God and the Gospel of Christ and we'll try to declare, Lord, this morning. And Lord, may it, Lord, touch some sinner's heart today. And may they find, Lord, their greatest need being met by, Lord, the world's only Savior. Lord, I pray that, Lord, the truths we give today, may it encourage some child of God, maybe, Lord, struggling, Lord, with Lord, all the spiritual warfare we seem to be under in these days, and Lord, may the goodness of God and what you did for us when you saved us, may it stir our heart over again. Lord, to look to heaven and trust the Lord and live by faith and fear of him. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, you'd meet the needs in this place and all that you do. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Mark chapter number 2 and in verse number 1, as we read it just a moment ago, reveals the continued impact and growth of Christ's earthly ministry as the multitudes continue to seek him out for a message and a miracle that would come by his mouth and by his hand. We understand as we've made our way through Mark chapter number 1 that there is much excitement around the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a man on the move. He's a man with a mission in mind. There's no grass growing under his feet. He's interested in the crowds that are around him and preaching to them. And as the Son of God and having the power of God upon his life to make an impact upon them, no matter where they are, no matter what they have, no matter what they face, he is a man that is moving from place to place, from person to person, from crowd to crowd. And in Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 1, things are not slowing down, but rather things seem to be speeding up and the crowds are growing larger and larger. When we come to Mark chapter number 2 and even on into chapter number 3, these chapters reveal that while multitudes and great crowds and many, many folk are being stirred and excited about the man from Galilee, we understand that these chapters reveal that not everyone was excited about the ministry of the Son of God. There are going to be folks, as we read this morning, that are going to sit around, and in our text, they're reasoning in their heart, and as the chapters go on, Brother Larry, we find they become more emboldened in their thoughts against the Son of God. They're literally going to speak against him and challenge him on what he is doing, what he is teaching, how he is living, and even began to criticize the very disciples and believers that he is changing their lives along the way. We understand that Christ will have several encounters with these that are known as scribes and Pharisees concerning the things that he does and the truths in which he teaches and says. We come to the verses in the text that we've read this morning. These verses, you don't have to be a theologian to understand that. And simply put, these verses of the healing of the palsied man and the miracle that is done here left the entire crowd in great amazement, so much and so that Brother Maurice, this portion of Christ's life and the story of the healing of the palsy man left them saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We never seen this. We never seen. They had seen miracles. The Lord had already done miracles. They had heard him preach before. They had witnessed that and testified. Amen. They had never heard nobody preach like this, but this story and really the point of it left them saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And I believe that ultimately this story or this event in the life of the Lord Jesus, the story of the healing of the palsy man, the ultimate issue that surrounds this text is the subject of the forgiveness of sins that Christ extended to this man. I don't think that when they said we never saw it on this fashion that Brother Mike, that is limited to the fact that this man arose, took up his bed, and walked to the house that day. I believe that in light of the ultimate issue, and that is that Christ has forgave this man of his sin in the midst of a great crowd, in the midst of the scribes, in the midst of the Pharisees, And Christ pronounced forgiveness upon this man for his sins. Sin this morning, I think we need to understand, is man's greatest problem. Man's greatest problem today is not COVID-19 and it's not wars and famines and pestilence and it's not disease and sickness. And man's greatest problem is not probably some of the things that people would say is man's greatest problem. Sin is man's greatest problem. And I think that being true, we could say today that if sin is man's greatest problem, then forgiveness is man's greatest need. This man is brought to Christ, no doubt, with needs that are in his body. In fact, amen, verse number 3 is clear and it is plain that this man was a sick man. The Bible said he was sick of the palsy. And when everybody looked at him, Brother Randy, it was evident that this is a sick man. May I say, Jesus saw him as a sinner man. Amen. The world can only see him as a sick man. And that's what the world sees today yet in the lives of men and women and even boys and girls and teenagers in their day. Amen. They put labels of sickness upon men. Amen. When they're just addicts and they're alcoholics. And you know, they have certain things that they can't get over. And their issues they had when they were growing up. And they want to bring them to reformation. And they want to treat them for some sort of perceived sickness and illness it seems to be in their life. Jesus seen beyond a sick man, and Jesus seen this man as he was from the real problem that he had, and Jesus saw him as a sinner man. Today, amen, again, man's greatest problem is sin. Amen, the crowd could only see the external need of the cripple. But Christ seen his spiritual condition. The fact that Christ would look at this man after the roof had been torn off, after these men had bore him there, no doubt in seeking a miracle, amen, surely something happened in the event, my friend, between verses 1 and through verse number 4, amen, that when Jesus has this man lowered before him and Jesus sees their faith, he sees this man, amen, for more than a sick man, but as a sinner man, and looks at him and the faith that is now displayed before the Son of God and proclaims, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. It is a witness and Christ saw him as a sinner. Amen. Think about this morning. Sin, what sin is. We understand this morning that the fact that Christ would say, thy sins be forgiven thee. We must understand what sin is. I don't have time, amen, to go through an entire exhaustive expounding of this throughout the Word of God. I think 1 John 3 and verse number 4 gives an adequate description and definition that we can lay hold on about what sin is. And sin, simply put, is anything that transgresses the law of God. God has given His law. God has, amen, put out that thou shalt and thou shalt not. Amen. Christ come on the scene. Amen. He would say, even in the Sermon on the Mount, here's what you've heard said of old. And he would quote from the law of Moses that Moses received of God. And Christ would say it goes beyond, amen, the physical abstaining of adultery and the physical abstaining of idolatry and the physical abstaining of committing murder. And Christ would come down and say, you can even transgress the law of God in your heart.
That really man's problem with sin, amen, is not what is manifest on the outside, but it's what grows in a man, a sinner man's heart, amen, in the depths of his very soul. Amen. Sin is the transgression of the law. And so when the law of God said, thou shalt not commit adultery, and a man commits adultery, has transgressed the law of God. Amen. And it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what Hollywood proclaims. It doesn't matter what laws are written or rewritten or explained away. Amen. God meant what He said, and adultery is, amen, the transgression of the law, that is sin. Amen. But Jesus said, if a man look upon a woman and lust after her in his heart, this man has committed adultery with her already in his heart. What is Christ saying? He's saying that a problem is not an external problem. It is a matter of the heart, my friend's sin and a sin nature and a defilement that is in man, that, and my friend, he commits those things in his heart.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so sin is anything that transgresses the law of God. Sin is anything that is offensive to God. Amen. It is missing the mark, someone said. Amen. May I say that, amen, sin is missing the true end and scope of our lives, which is God. Amen. Anything that takes you away from God. Amen. Anything that leads you away from the Lord. Amen. That is a sin. Sin is something we are born with. Psalm 58 and in verse number 3 speaks about, amen, the wicked are estranged from the womb. But, amen, we come forth, my friend, born. Amen. Speaking lies. There is, amen, a part of this matter of sin that all men are simply born with. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. And so there is a nature that of sin that is upon every man. Amen. Sin and the nature of it is something that we're born with. Romans 3 and verse number 23 is as clear and plain and black and white as a verse as you'll read in all the Word of God. Amen. Where it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word of God echoes, amen, from page to page, chapter to chapter, book to book. Amen. From beginning to end, there is none righteous, no, not one. Amen. And so we understand, amen, that sin is something that all are guilty of before God. Amen. Our sin is not measured in light and in standing and to a degree as it would measure to somebody else, but, amen, rather as is measured by the law of God and the Word of God in a man's standing of guilt before the Lord. The fact of the matter is today that in our Adamic nature, the nature, the life that we was born into, that all men are guilty before God because all men have sinned.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. And so sin, I think, is accurately said as man's greatest problem. But Christ took this man's greatest problem. He looked beyond his sickness. He seen his sin. He looked beyond him being a cripple, and he saw a man who is corrupt on the inside. And Christ, my friend, did for this man what this man could not do for himself, what even his four friends cannot pronounce over him, what his mama and his daddy cannot do, what, amen, the scribes had failed so often in offering this man. Christ not only offered, but performed and said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. Forgiven. What a wondrous word. Amen. To think about our standing before God. Amen. We may be able to stand before certain men. And we may be even able to justify ourselves in their sight. Before God, we are condemned. Before the Son of God. Amen. We're all an unclean thing. We're all corrupt. Amen. We're all worthy and deserving of and destined for eternal damnation. Christ offers man his greatest need. Amen. By simply saying, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. What a pronouncement. What a statement. A word forgiven. Amen. We think about it in our terms and in this day. And even in the realms of the church, it is such a watered down doctrine, such a thing that is presented in these days. Amen. And you may argue with me, and that's fine. You're wrong. Amen. But forgiveness is talked about in tones as though it were a cheap grace. Forgiveness is not cheap grace. And forgiveness is not God overlooking our sin. It's not God ignoring what we are. Amen. Amen. Friend, forgiveness, amen, is one of the deepest doctrines in all the Word of God. Amen. To think about a sovereign God in whom is no fault, in whom is no sin, in whom is no guile, and who declares himself, amen, to be holy, holy, holy when looking upon sinful men as they come to God by faith and say to them, thy sins be forgiven thee. Forgiven simply and literally means in this text, it means to send forth. It means to drive away. Christ is saying, I'm not holding your sin against you. You have come the way that God has called upon men to come. Amen. You have come by faith. You have forsaken. Amen. You have forsaken in your heart and in repentance. You've come to God. And so now I am forgiving you of your sin. I'm sending it forth. Amen. All that sin is done. All that sin is caused. All that sin is created in your life. All the offense it is between me and you and God. Amen. I am forgiving that in this moment of time. I'm sending away the sin. I'm sending away the penalty of that sin. I'm driving away the offense. Or my friend, you now stand clear and clean and pardoned before Almighty God. This word forgiven that is used here in Mark chapter number 2 and in verse number 5. Amen. To send forth, to drive away, would seem to be best illustrated in picture. Amen. In the Old Testament matter of the scapegoat, in which two goats would be brought to the tabernacle. One would be slain, his blood would be shed and would be collected. It would be offered to God, a measure of that placed upon the living goat. And then the strong man would take, amen, that blood and the sin that had been confessed upon the lab goat, the scapegoat, and Brother Maurice, he would walk him out into the wilderness, amen, to a place in which man had never been and man could never go with, and he would release the scapegoat, amen, as a picture that all the sin that had been placed upon that scapegoat, amen, my friend, had carried off, amen, that sin of an entire nation. Hey, I say that is what Christ offers today. Amen. He took upon himself in Calvary's hill. Amen. All of our sin. He is. Amen. He is both goats in the scapegoat and the strong man as well. Amen. Thank God our sin was pronounced upon him. He took our punishment. He took our payment. And thank God when a sinner is saved, amen, he forgives them. He drives their sin away. He sends it forth, amen, into a place that man cannot go. Amen. Think about it today. If you're saved, you are forgiven. The devil may try to remind you of what you used to be. Amen, friend, there may be times when we are tempted, amen, to think about and ponder about to the point, amen, where we feel the sense of that guilt again. Amen, but thank God for the comforting and peaceful whispers of the Holy Ghost. Amen, son, a Savior forgave you of that a long time ago.
Amen.
It's been sent forth. It's been carried away. Amen. Thank God never to be held against us again. Amen. I'm reminded when I think about, amen, this matter of sin being forgiven. Psalm 32 and verse number 1 said, amen, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Amen. And Paul would quote from that, amen, that David had said in Romans chapter number 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. Amen. And reminding us that that is still the forgiveness that God offers. Amen. Do you realize how blessed we are today? If you can stand and boldly say, amen, that God has forgiven me of my sin. I was a sinner. I was guilty. I did deserve the penalty. I was headed to hell and I was worthy of that damnation. But God has forgiven me. I didn't baptize my sin away. I didn't do enough good to get it off the, amen, the other end of the scale. Amen. We're not merit mongers, Brother Tim. But thank God we can stand and boldly say that Christ has forgiven me. Our sins have been forgiven.
Amen.
Now the guilty stand innocent before God.
Yes,
amen. I think about this matter of forgiveness. Forgiveness, my friend, is not based upon any merit or any work that we have done. Forgiveness, according to the Word of God, amen, is based solely in and upon Christ's work of grace. In Acts chapter number 13 and in verse number 38, amen, the Bible said, be it known. Paul said, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, and through this man, that is Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. The fact is, there is no forgiveness outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You don't find it in a church. You don't find it in a preacher. Amen. You don't find it in religion. You don't find it in the world. You can't buy it. Amen. You can't earn it. Forgiveness is a work of the grace of Christ. Ephesians in chapter number 1 in verse 7 and 8. Amen. The apostle Paul said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself. And so the thought is simply this, amen, in our text in Mark chapter number 2, when Jesus said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee, it wasn't because he found his way to God. Amen, it wasn't because him and his buddies, amen, ripped the roof off of the house. Amen, it wasn't his determination. It was not his good deeds. Amen, it was simply the work and the grace of Christ.
Amen.
And saw this man in his condition and saw him in faith and repentance before the Lord. Christ looked at him and said, thy sins be forgiven thee. It's a work of Christ. And only Christ can do it. Amen. Look in the text this morning. I'm still in introduction. This is all the further I'll make it. Amen. I got 6 points. Amen. Amen. Out of these 12 verses for the main course. Amen. So we'll just give you this and we'll be done this morning. But notice with me. Amen. When we think about forgiveness in light of this text. Amen. I want to say 3 things about this statement the Lord has made, son. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Let me say, number 1, this man was forgiven immediately. It was not a forgiveness that was extended over a process of time. Jesus did not say to him, I will forgive you so long as tomorrow you're a little bit better than you were today. Oh no, friend, it was an immediate forgiveness that was displayed and presented and pronounced to him. I love this verse. Let me read you this verse in Psalm. in Psalm 32, Psalm 32 and in verse number 5, there David said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee and mine iniquity. Have I not hid? I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. You say, what is David saying? David is saying, as soon as I confess my sin, as soon as I acknowledge what I was, amen, thou forgavest me. Amen. May I say the work of Christ in forgiveness, amen, upon this man and upon all sinners, yes, and this forgiveness takes place immediately. It's not something, that friend, that is in the process of time. Oh, yes, there's still a work he's going to do. And yes, there are going to be things down the road that we do since we've been saved. Amen, that we're going to have to confess to him and tell him about, and then he'll be thankful even then to forgive us our sin. When a sinner comes to the Lord, amen, in that wicked and that awful spiritual condition of being filled with sins, that sinner puts his faith in Christ and repenting of his sin, amen, and with a godly sorrow, amen, says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God, as soon as that confession is made, there is an immediate forgiveness for our sins.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You say, preacher, that's awful. That's awful simple. Well, amen, you don't want me to make it difficult, do you? Amen, I'm telling you, he was forgiven immediately. Number two, this man was not only forgiven immediately, but he was forgiven completely. Notice what the Word of God said, son, thy sins. Amen, thy sins. That is all the sins. Every sin. Oh, I'm about to preach, Brother Mark. Every first to the last of your sins, thy sins be forgiven thee. I don't know what they were. I don't need to know what they were. I don't need insight on that. All I know is that this man did not have one sin. Amen. It was not one thing in his life. Amen. Evidently, there was a plurality of things. Amen. There were multitudes of sins that this man had in his heart. And Brother John, as you did 11 years ago, amen, when you bowed on your knee and you cried out to the Lord, and the Lord extends forgiveness to a sinner, he does it completely.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He didn't just forgive him of the small things and leave the big things hanging over his head.
Amen.
There was no end and exhaustion of the grace and the mercy and the compassion and the love that the Lord was willing to extend to this man. Amen. It went to every sin. Amen. The ones that were on the surface to the ones that were born in the very depths of his heart and the very depths of his soul, even the things that maybe his wife didn't know about and the things his children didn't know about and the things that his parents didn't know about and the things the scribes didn't know about. Amen. But things that God knew about, and God said, I am forgiving absolutely every one of your sins.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad when I came to the Lord, he forgave me all my sin. Do you not remember what the psalmist David said in Psalm 103 and in verse number 3? He said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Amen. I'm glad there's grace. Grace for every sin. There's grace for every issue. There is grace for every failure in our life. Amen. And when I came to the Lord at the age of 17, I'm telling you, friend, you'd have looked on the outside. Amen. You'd have seen some things on the surface. Amen. Mom and Daddy could have seen even more than the average casual passerby could. My friend Jesus knew everything that was in my heart. He knew every direction my life was set in. He knew every ounce of rebellion that was there. And my friend, when I rolled out of the bed, my friend, on September the 14th, 1996, amen, a little past 4, between 4 and 4:30 that morning, and Brother Jack, I confessed to him my sin. He forgave me completely. He forgave me, my friend, in the very depths of my soul. I am thankful we serve a Savior that forgives completely.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Completely. Amen. Through and through. Amen. All the way to the uttermost, He will forgive you of your sin. Some people say, well, I've come to the Lord, there's no way He'd forgive me. How do you know?
Right.
Amen. You say, well, you know, you're a preacher and He may have saved you, but you what? You're just a preacher. I ain't always been a preacher. Are you listening to me? I ain't always been a preacher. I ain't always, amen, had my heart in tune to the presence of God in the church service. Amen, there's a time, I'm telling you, as defiled, as corrupt. Amen, and like the Word of God said, all we like sheep have gone astray. I had, amen, I had already turned to my own way. Amen, I just had a daddy who had some barriers raised up. Amen, that kept me confined from exercising my sinful, wicked, and rebellious will against God to the degree that I wanted to. Amen, but behind daddy's back I was. Amen, away from the church I was. And I'm telling you, God knew all about that. And when I came, He gave me forgiveness completely.
Amen.
Completely. He will forgive you. The Apostle Paul said of himself, and I believe every child of God, my friend, must have the mentality that I was the chiefest of sinners. I was the chiefest. I was the worst. I was the head of them all. Amen. And God came back. Amen. The Apostle Paul's way. And Jesus forgave him and saved him. And I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how wicked your heart and your mouth is against God. Amen. There is grace. There is mercy. There is forgiveness completely for the sin that man have today.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He forgave him immediately. He forgave him completely. And then let me say, He forgave him personally.
Yes, sir.
Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know what Jesus did? He took the forgiveness that only He can give, and He made it personal in that boy's life.
Yes,
can I say this morning, and I want you to understand this, Brother Larry often in the sanctuary, and especially in the prayer room, will testify at different times, and almost word for word every time, here's what Brother Larry will say, salvation is real. But I want everybody to look here, nothing is real till it's personal.
That's right. Amen.
Nothing is real until it's personal. You see, my friend, when Jesus said this, amen, he's not pronouncing this, amen, to anyone else for this boy. Amen. It's not anyone else that, amen, he's got to hear this from. Amen. It ain't that Jesus tells this man's mama to tell this to it. Oh no, He told him personally. Amen. And nothing's real till it's personal. I'm glad I can tell you this morning, it's real. It's real. Bless God, I know it's real. Amen. Cause 25 and a half years ago, amen, I bowed on my knee, amen, personally before the Lord Jesus Christ. And He spoke to me personally. And He dealt with my sin personally. And He forgave me personally.
Amen.
This boy got something more than mom and daddy's religion.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Somebody asked him maybe years down the road, amen, how do you know you're forgiven? Because He told me I was.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
My mama didn't tell me I was forgiven. My daddy, I ain't banking on what my daddy said. Are you listening to me? There's a Savior in glory. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And my friend makes salvation personal. Forgiveness, my friend, was given to him personally. I think Jesus hit on this in his earthly ministry. Boy, I got to hurry. My mind's going so many ways right now. You remember there when he got in that Simon's house and they was having that meal and that woman come in with that alabaster box and broke it open and anointed the head and the feet of the Lord and found herself at his feet. That crowd in that house, they said, Lord, what a waste this is. The Lord said, that ain't waste, that's worship. Jesus said, what y'all don't understand, whoever has been forgiven little loveth little. Whoever has been forgiven much loveth much. In other words, what the Lord was saying is, you don't know what I've done for her. You don't know where I brought her from. You don't know where I found her at. You don't know the mess her life was in. Amen. Before you met her, I met her. And I seen her and all that. And I forgave her much. Can I say this morning, amen, the Lord made it personal in this crippled boy. He made it personal in that woman that day and saving her and forgiving her as much. And thank God when he saved me, I just believe he forgave me of much. I know what I was. I know what he done. Thank God it's real today because it was made personal. Amen. Psalm 51, we won't look at it. Psalm 51 verses 1 through 12 is David's prayer of confession of the sin that he had made. I dare you to go home and count it out. And I may have missed one. I did it pretty quick this morning just thinking upon this thought about forgiveness being personal. And in that, David, in those verses, David is asking for forgiveness. In the first 12 verses of Psalm 51, no less than 24 times does David use the personal pronouns me, my, mine, and I. My sin. My iniquity. Purge me. Cleanse me. Renew me. You know what David is saying? God, I know what you've done for so many others. I've heard others talk about, amen, being forgiven. I've heard others brag on you about your grace and your mercy and your love and how big you are in forgiveness. Amen. But David said, Lord, now it's me. Now it's me that needs it. I need cleansing. I need forgiveness. Amen. Best day of your life, sinner friend, will be when you come to the end of yourself and you personally come to Christ and you personally faith, amen, what only Christ can make real to you. Amen. Amen. You see, sometimes, amen, the moral sinner, the sinner that, amen, has been raised with a little bit of decency in their life, amen, looks around at the ungodly and the wicked and all the troublemakers of our day. And they say, well, I ain't as bad as them. But you are. You're as bad, and you say, how do you know that? Because if you don't get saved and find forgiveness of sin, you're going the same hell, the same fire, the same brimstone, the same pain, the same thirst, the same suffering, the same separation, the same eternal torment. It's all that crowd is that you think you're better than. It's got to be personal. Amen. Have you ever personally seen yourself in need of forgiveness for sins? I'll end with this. I'm still in introduction. I ain't even give y'all my thought yet, have I? Lord, have mercy. Amen. Shut up, Debbie. Notice with me when Christ declared the forgiveness of sin for this man, there's a question that is raised that demands an answer. It demands attention. Now, I don't get along with these scribes. Me and these scribes and Pharisees, we wouldn't have been chums. But I will say this, they did ask a good question. Who can forgive sin but God only? That doctrine's right. Man cannot forgive himself. Some of y'all need to quit listening to some of this bull going around in our day. Well, you just got to forgive yourself and all. You didn't get that out the Bible. That's a bunch of New Age trash. You can't forgive yourself. There is one that justifieth, and that is God. Now, in defense, now, understand, I'm not friends of this crowd, but in their defense, they ask a good question. Who can forgive sins but God only? We've never attempted to forgive somebody of their sin. We can't do this. And in fact, under their system, and even, I mean, you just think about it in terms of the Word of God. Amen. That is blasphemy if a man is going to pronounce, amen, spiritual forgiveness upon a man standing and being in sin and forgive him of that. He better have the authority of God behind him. May I say in passing, I sure don't have time to run this rabbit. I don't know that you'll find as great, but a greater defense of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ in this event when Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they said, who can forgive sins but God only? And the answer is Jesus was God in the flesh. Christ takes on this question. This will give us our thought, and I'm done. In fact, Sister Candy's coming. I'll have you out by 12. Watch this. The Bible said, Christ asked them, whether is it easier to say, the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And I'm going to deal with this next Sunday. But notice what he said in verse number 10. But that ye may know that the Son of Man have power on earth to forgive sins. Here's what Jesus said. I have the power. You're right. Only God can do this, and they ain't a man from Adam all the way to the days that we're living in today. There's not a man. I don't care what the Catholic Church says. You don't get in a little booth and talk through a knot hole to a knot head on the other side and have him tell you you're forgiven and walk away in a good standing before God.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Somebody said you go to a man who dresses like mama and call him papa. You'll never find forgiveness. Because Jesus is answering their question. You're right. Only God can. But what I'm about to do is a sign to you that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Our thought, Brother Mike, is this, and I preach the introduction to bring you to a conclusion. The Savior's power to pardon sin. He has the power to do what you cannot do for yourself. He has the power. You say, preacher, I've come to church. I love coming to church. And I'm trusting that coming to church is going to be enough. It'll never be enough. Only the Savior has power to pardon sin. When all of this is done, they're going to testify. They're going to walk away one by one. Brother Larry, back to their house. And they're going to say, you ever seen it on that fashion? I ain't ever seen it happen like that.
Right.
Somebody else said, hey, have you ever in any day of your life seen what just happened? Have you ever seen anything that even looks like that? And they say, we never saw it on this fashion. Can I say there is in that testimony, in that statement, there is a recognition that indeed only Christ has the power to forgive sin. They had already seen cripples walk. They had already seen lepers cleansed. They had already seen the sick with fevers raised up. They had already seen all of that. But when they seen how Christ declared His own absolute authority to be God in the flesh to forgive sin, they walked away saying, our mind is blown. Do you remember when you stood in amazement when it finally dawned on you? Only Jesus can meet the need of my greatest problem.